Blog Talk Radio. The recording has started.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody, praise the Lord, amen, God bless you on tonight, God bless you, people of God. It's been a couple of days, we've been off air, but nevertheless, we give God thanks and we give God praise that he has brought us back together again, and I don't know about you, people of God, but I am glad to be in the service. I'm so grateful to be here again with each of you. Listen, people of God, as stated, it's been a couple of days. We've been off air, but we want to ask you to go ahead and invite somebody and let them know that we are here. We are here and that we are live, and we want them to come and join us on tonight. We just want to welcome you. We want to welcome you, each and every one. We welcome you on tonight. God bless you. God bless you on this night. We are grateful. We're grateful for it is another day that the Lord has kept us, and we are again indeed grateful for it. Amen. Go ahead and invite a couple of people. Go ahead and invite a couple of people on tonight. Invite. We're excited about what the Lord has in store for us. We are indeed excited. Amen. Glory to God. So again, people of God, go ahead and invite. Go ahead and invite a couple of people to come and be with you on tonight. Amen. We are live on tonight. I know if we do a recording, it does say live, but this is live. Amen. We thank God for you. Thank you for your dedication, your commitment. We see where different ones have logged in, even though we were offline for the past couple of nights. But we thank God for you. Thank you for coming on back, and for coming on in to be with us in the service of the Lord. We are grateful. Again, grateful to be here. I love y'all. We love you so much. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for your texts, your concern about, amen, the line. But we give God thanks. We give God praise again for each of you for your commitment. Amen. That shows commitment. And we are grateful. Listen, again, go ahead and invite a couple of people to come and be with us on tonight. We are live on tonight, people of God. We're live. We're for real live. Amen. And we are, again, we're so grateful that you're come, that you've come to be with us on tonight. Amen. God bless you again. God bless you. Listen, while you're inviting people, want to tell you to go ahead and get your pen and paper so that you can be ready, so that you can be ready to take notes, people of God, so that you can be ready. Glory to God, that whatever the Lord has said, that you can capture it. Amen. If you don't capture it, listen, we just want to let you know you can get a copy of the broadcast live. Amen. And we do apologize. There is such a backlog of the requested broadcast. But we want you to, please, ma'am, please, sir, charge it to our head and our heart. Amen. Plates have been pretty full. Amen. But listen, we do want to get it to you as quickly as possible, as quick as we can. Pray for us. Just pray for us, people of God. And people of God, while you're getting that pen and paper, we just want to thank God for all of our listeners, thanking God for our international listeners, those that are listening now in, I believe, 120 countries. Amen. This is where we are singing. Amen. 125 countries. So we give God thanks and we give God praise for that. Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for each and every one of you. We bless God for you on tonight. We bless the Lord. We thank him. We honor, we glorify him for you on tonight. Amen. Each and every country, whatever country you're listening from, we just want to thank God for you. Amen. And as well, we thank God for all of our listeners here in the States, those that are listening in the Caribbean islands, those that are listening, just listen, just all over the world, wherever you're listening from, we thank God for your listening ear, and we pray that you are blessed. We pray that you are blessed by the broadcast. Amen. Glory be to God. So we give God thanks. We give God praise for you. We bless God for you, whatever country, those that are in the north, the south, the east, and the west. We give God thanks and we give God praise for you. We glorify the Lord. And people of God, we do want to go ahead and sanctify the lines. But listen, before we do, if you would just let someone know that we're here, we're live, and we would love for them to come and join us on tonight. Just let them know. Let them know. Let them know. Amen. Glory be to God. God bless you again tonight. God bless you. Again, we love, we appreciate you so much. And we just good to be, it's good to be back here with you. Amen. Glory to God. So tonight, people of God, as always, we do want to sanctify the line. People of God, we don't want anything to hinder us from hearing what the Lord is saying. So we're going to sanctify the line. We're going to have missionary fan to come and sanctify the line for us. And then after that, people of God, we're going to have our scripture reading by Sister Mary Holland. Amen. Glory to God. And then after that, people of God, we're going to release the line to our speaker. And our speaker has a standing commitment with us. Amen. For our Friday night, as long as his schedule, amen, permits. And we just thank God for dedication to be here with us on the PNN. So again, if you would, go ahead and invite a couple of people to come on out and be with us. Invite, invite, invite. Amen. And then, listen, people of God, we'll release the line to our speaker. But before we do that, just want to thank God for our leaders, all of our leaders. Thanking the Lord God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God for him. Thank God for him who has established this work in the earth. Amen. It has gone through many twists and turns. And we thank God, people of God, that we are yet holding on. Amen. And we thank you for yet holding on with us. Amen. So at this time, we're going to bring forth, glory to God, the woman of God. She will come. Again, missionary fan. After her, we're going to have Sister Mary Holland. And then immediately after her, we're going to have, glory be to God, immediately after her, we're going to have our speaker for tonight, Minister Craig Cannon, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, with Applied Word Ministries. Amen. Applied Word Ministries. People of God, in that order, amen, Jesus, invite, invite, invite. God bless you, missionary fan. You have the platform.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. And when your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Can you help me say yes? Yes. 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 Yes, can you help me say yes? Yes, 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 yes. And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, trust and obey. And when your spirit speaks to me, when your spirit speaks to me, when Spirit speaks to me, with my heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, Lord God. Giving your name the praise. Giving your name the glory. Giving your name the honor, Lord God. We come before you tonight just to say hallelujah, giving you the highest praise. Jesus, and we come, Lord God, tonight to say yes, Lord God, yes to your will and yes to your way, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come tonight, Lord God, just to say thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord. Thank you right now, Lord God. We appreciate you, Lord. We magnify you. We glorify you. We lift you up on this night. We thank you tonight, Lord God, for allowing us to come back, Lord God, to this line, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come to say thank you for, Lord God, giving us, Lord God, another chance, Lord God, to hear further from you, Lord God. We thank you right now. We magnify you. We glorify you right now. In the name of Jesus, we come, Lord God, asking you to look upon us today, each and every one of us that came, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, asking you to forgive us, Lord God, for all our sins, God, for all our iniquities, Lord God. Lord God, we come asking you to forgive us for all our transgressions. Lord God, we ask you to forgive us for anything that we may have said today, Lord God, that was not pleasing to your sight. Anything that we may have thought, Lord God, that just wasn't pleasing to you, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, with a repentant heart. We want to take time, Lord God, and ask you, Lord God, to create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we come tonight, Lord God. Just say thank you, Lord God. Thank you, God, for loving us, Lord God, unconditionally, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look upon each and every one of us tonight, Lord God, that came, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come asking you, Lord God, to move by your spirit and by your mighty powers tonight on this line, Lord God. We asking you tonight, Lord God, to move, Lord God, mightily on with your word tonight, Lord God. We come asking you, Lord God, to give us that spiritual ear, Lord God, to hear what unto us tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to help us to open up our spirits, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, our spiritual eye, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we may see and hear what you have to say on tonight, Lord God, through this man of God, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, move, Lord God, have your way tonight, Lord God, on this line, Lord God, let your word come forth, Lord God, and heal, Lord God, the sick, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, save the lost, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, move, Lord God, in every situation that's on this line, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we realize and know, Lord God, that your hand is not too short, Lord God, that you can't save. Neither is your ear is too heavy that you can't hear us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. So we come tonight, Lord, Lord God, to your word on tonight, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, save us some more. In the name of Jesus, save us some more, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, move like never before, Lord God. Let your choice anointing come, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and break up every solid ground, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Let your word come forth, Lord God, and cleanse, Lord God, where it needs to be cleansed, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Move, Lord God, on Minister Bradley tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, strengthen the right now, Lord God, for the journey that is ahead. In the name of Jesus, God, move for her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Give her strength. In the name of Jesus, we ask you this night, Lord God, to even, Lord God, give us strength, Lord God, for what she has to go through on tomorrow, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray tonight, Lord God, for our sister, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we ask you tonight, Lord God, just to have your way again, Lord God, and let your will be done, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, bless us good, Lord God, tonight. Bless us good. Bless us through your word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we'll be so careful, Lord God, to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the name of Jesus, what you are so due. In the name of Jesus, and we just said thank you tonight. We say we glorify you tonight. We say we lift you up tonight. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to your name. Thank you, Master.
Praise the Lord. Give honor to God, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Evangelist Bradley, to our speaker for tonight, to the PDN advisors, to the Penny and Prayer Ward, and to you, all of our listeners, near and far. Scripture reading tonight will be coming from the third chapter of Proverbs. It's not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall I find favor and understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, sit alone. Far from evil. It shall be help to thy neighbor and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy purses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as his father the son, in whom he I have read to you the third chapter of Proverbs, the first through the 12th verse. May God bless you to the reading, the hearers, and the doers of his holy word.
God.
Praise God.
Okay, there you are. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank
you. Minister Craig, God bless you.
976-706 pound. Blessings.
There are 5 participants in the conference. The recording has started.
Read the Bible on a daily basis. It's so important that we develop a relationship with God through His Word. It is vital in these last days. It is absolutely vital. We have all the answers we need in this one book. This book is alive. The words are alive. It's not like any other book on the earth, and it will always be here. It will never leave us. This word is the literally word of God, the breath of God, the mind of God. What God wants for us, it's all in here. All we got to do is get in the book for the user manual for life. If you want to understand everything about your life, get in this book. If you want to understand everything about your situation and your circumstance, get in this book. Begin to pray and read the scriptures every single day. God has answers. He has mysteries. He has all types of things in the Word of God for us. And we've got to get in His Word. So I want to go back to Genesis. I want you all to turn in Genesis again. Last week we started with Genesis 1, and we went over and we learned some things about God. We learned about His attributes. We learned some things about how He operates, how He thinks. We learned so much about God, and we need to continue to learn about God on a daily basis. Last week we learned about God during creation. We learned that God could speak. We learned that God could call. We learned that God could see. This God is not over there, out there somewhere. He's right here in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. But let's go back, and we're going to go back to Genesis. I believe we finished Genesis 1. Let's pick up with Genesis 2. And we're going to continue to just meditate in Genesis. And what do I mean by meditate? The way you meditate is when you read a scripture, you read it slowly and you read it carefully. And before you even read it, you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Spirit of the living God is here now on the earth, and He's on the inside of us. And He's been sent here to lead and guide us into all truth. He came after Jesus left. When Jesus ascended into heaven, He said the Father will send you another comforter, and He will be that comforter that leads and guides you into all truth, the whole truth and the full truth. The Holy Spirit will only speak what He hears the Father says. So understand this. We have a comforter. We have a helper. We have a friend with us, even at this very moment. So no matter what your situation or circumstance is, the Holy Spirit is here to help you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Let's just pick up where we left off. We remember in Genesis chapter 1, God's doing all this creation. He is blessing things. He is saying things. And as soon as He says it, He sees it. We learned about God creating the heavens and the earth. And we picked up, I think we left off on in Genesis 24, how He was creating the beast and also how He created us, human beings, in the image of God. Verse 27, chapter 1 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. So understand this, male and female, God created male and female, He created. And we talked about how that word man represents the human species. It doesn't always necessarily mean male, because the man species has two sexes. It has a male and it has a female. And that's what God is saying. If you don't understand that, there can be a lot of confusion around that. And this scripture here, where He says, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And verse 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them. Notice everything is them, male and female. He told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. That word dominion, full authority. God has given us full authority have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then it says, verse 29, God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. And we talked about that, that every fruit has a seed in itself. Seed is so important in the eyes of God. Seed is vital. And I believe we talked about last week, where I gave you all an example of where the Spirit of God showed me many years ago, that when you plant a seed in the ground, that seed grows down before it grows up. So when you plant that seed in the ground and you cover it up with dirt and you water it and you fertilize it and you don't see anything breaking through the ground for weeks. And some of us may think, hey, maybe it didn't take. Maybe it's not going to grow. And that's exactly what the way we think about some of the times when we look for God to answer our prayers. We pray the prayer. Maybe it's something we want God to do for us or something we want God to give us. We pray that prayer, and when we don't see it work, we have a tendency to give up. But we don't keep asking. We just give up because we don't see what we're praying for. Just like we don't see that seed growing below that ground. See, we can't give up on God because God will never give up on us. We have to continue to pray. And we have to have faith that something's going on even though we don't see it. Remember the definition of faith. Faith is the substance, the only evidence you have of the invisible. It's the only evidence you need. Because God said, if I said it, I'll do it. So we got to trust God and have faith in God that he will do exactly what he said. And when we put in our request before God, we got to understand that God is always working. He's always working on our request. So let's keep going. And to every beast, verse 30, of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, hath given every herb, green herb, for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. We learned last week that an evening and a morning was the definition of a day. A day went from evening to morning during that time. Now we have days going from morning to morning. But it's interesting it went from evening to morning during that time. So let's pick up in chapter 2, and we're going to begin to learn some more things. We're going to hang out in Genesis because I believe Genesis is the foundation of the entire Bible. You know, the Word of God says that God declared the end from the beginning. So we're going to understand some things about the end times from the beginning, which is in Genesis. See, a lot of people don't realize that even in the Old Testament, it's pointing to Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, some Old Testament points to it. And that's what we got to understand. In the Old Testament, there's a saying that says, the Old Testament has the New Testament concealed. The New Testament has the Old Testament revealed. So that's what we have to understand. All of this lines up. All of it fits together like a perfect puzzle. You know why? Because God, he's God. He's a genius. He's beyond being a genius. He's the absolute perfection of love. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Chapter 2, verse 2, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested. And we should be resting on the seventh day. We should follow the pattern of God. God is showing us how you work those 6 days, but on the seventh day, you should rest. That's what God did. You guys ever wonder, you ever going to think, let me give you all an example of just a realistic clue. And I know most of you all have heard of Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, one of the fast food restaurants. I think it's, you know, Hapeville, Georgia, not too far outside of Atlanta. I remember, I think it was back in the 70s when it started. But, you know, when Chick-fil-A was one of the first fast food restaurants that did not open on the seventh day. Now, I know I'll get a lot of flack when people say the seventh day, is it Sabbath or seventh? That's a whole other story. But one of the days out of the seven, you rest. And that day, whatever that seventh day is the day of rest. It's interesting that they didn't even open, and yet all these years later, this fast food restaurant has become a billion-dollar enterprise. And I believe the others were wondering, how did that happen? McDonald's surely had been around a long enough time before Chick-fil-A even ever existed. And it got to billionaire status, but Chick-fil-A did it quite well. And I think now it's probably almost in the $6 or $7 billion, almost $10 billion a restaurant. But I believe, this is my theory, it had a lot to do with just honoring the seventh day, just allowing your people to have a day of rest. Follow the scriptures. God will bless you. On the seventh day he made, verse 2, and on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. So God blessed the seventh day. These are the generations of the heavens, of the heavens. You guys notice that? These are the generation of the heavens. That's, there is a plural. There's an S there. We talked about last week about the heavens, you know, the sky, heaven one, outer space, heaven two, beyond outer space, the heaven of heavens where God resides, heaven number three. So these are the days. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. The heavens and the earth were created. We talked about last week, it's interesting that God is only referring to the earth. The earth. He's talking about Venus and Mars and Saturn and Jupiter. The earth is a very special place to God, a very special place to God. This is the only planet that I have actually seen named in the Bible. Now, I know he talks about the stars and the moon and the sun, but the earth is specifically named. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now, let's talk about that for a second. The Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. So God can cause rain. And there was not a man to till the ground, and neither man to break up the ground. All right? But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Stop right there. I wish I could ask some of you all questions to really say something, but what do you think that is? Look at that. There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Today that would be, well, let me back up before I even say it. Have you guys ever wondered sometimes in the morning when you go outside, even though it didn't rain the night before, why is the grass wet? Never thought about that, did you? You go outside early in the morning, the grass is wet, but it didn't rain. But where did that water come from? On the grass. We call it the dew. So apparently, there's a mist that there's something coming up that's actually allowing that water to be put on the grass. See, I believe the Bible answers everything. Even the scientists don't even want to believe the Bible, but they cannot deny the fact that God has created everything. And even some of our common explanations, you can scientifically explain why dew occurs, but the fact that it occurs tells me that the hand of God is in it. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So let's get a picture of in our minds for a second. God, who is other, or you all might say, well, he's alien, Alien means he's different from human beings. Yeah, he's, you know, we're made in his image. He's not made in ours. But we're made in his image. He didn't say we were made like him, and we're just made in his image. God is alien. Just go ahead and accept that fact. Quit thinking of God as a human, because he's not. He's not a human. And a lot of people may say, well, whoa, 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 you're going a little bit far about saying that. Now, hold on. We're made in the image of God. The Bible never said that God was made in our image. It said we were made in his. And this being we know has all these attributes, can see, can speak, can multiply, can divide. We talked about all that last week, and the scriptures clearly showed it. So there's an intelligence there. We know that. But he's of it. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed. Okay, so now we know God breathed. He breathed in his nostrils. Oh, all of a sudden we have nostrils. So God formed this man out of the dust of the ground, and God blew in his nostrils. And what did he blow in? The breath of life. The breath of life. The breath of life. So that tells you that life itself comes from God. Because God blew in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So if we look at that, we can say, and let me tell you something about breath. That word breath comes from a Greek word, pneuma, pneumonia. That's the root word of pneumonia, which deals with the lungs. Pneuma, P-N-U-E-M-A, I believe that's correct. God breathed the breath of life. And you know something else, that word breath comes up? It represents spirit. So it was almost like God put his spirit in man. So when he breathed that breath of life, that's like the spirit of God was coming on the inside of man. So you think about it. When the spirit of God made contact with the body of man, then man became a living soul. I'm going to say that again. When the Spirit of God breathed into his nostrils, came into contact with the body of man. What's the body of man? God created man from the dust of the earth. This was his fleshy body he created. When it came into contact with that body, man became a living soul. Now, that's the three parts of a man. We're made in the image of God, right? God has three parts, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But they're all God. Right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if we're made in his image, if he's a three-part being, then we must be a three-part being. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body. He possesses a soul. You see that? See how they parallel each other? They have to, because we're made in his image. We're made in his image. So if God's a three-part being, we've got to be a three-part being. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body. He possesses a soul. It shows you right there what happened when God did creation, during creation. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And I want you all to make a note of that about when God did creation. Because, see, what I just told you, God's spirit was on the inside of Adam. You see that? Now, this was before the fall. This was before the fall. Hello? This was before the fall. What I mean, before Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Remember, before they disobeyed God, Adam walked in the garden in the cool of the day with God. Adam was so close to God. See? God's spirit was in him. God's spirit was in him. But after the fall, something drastically happened. Something drastically happened. That's what God said, you know, the day you eat of this tree, you'll surely die. And we'll get to that. But I want you all to remember this verse where God created, which is chapter 2, verse 7, when he formed man. And I want you to remember that God's spirit was on the inside of Adam, right? And Adam had a soul. He became a living soul when God's spirit came on the inside of him and it made contact with his body. Man became a living soul. Those are the three parts. Man is a spirit. He lives in the body. He possesses the soul. But watch this. There's a scripture later on in the Bible that says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See that? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. See? So Adam, this being that has God's spirit on the inside of him, right? But he's this whole being of a human. He has God's spirit on the inside of him, but he also has a body that God made from the dust of the earth, and he also has a soul. So he became a living soul. Now that's the makeup of man or human, Adam, which God called him Adam. Just remember that. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in the Eden so God can plant. We're learning all this stuff about God. We know God can create, God can plant, God can form. He just formed a man from the dust of the earth. See, we got to understand who God is. We got to know God. We don't just need to know about God. We got to know God. I want to know everything about him. I want to know his nature. I want to understand how he thinks, his emotion. I want to understand everything possible. That's the way we have to be. When we really get to know God, we'll have a holy reverence for him like we should. The reason we don't have such a holy reverence for God these days is because we're thinking about God as if he was one of us. Yeah, he's this superhuman being. No, he's not a human being. We got to understand God is outside. He's other. He's outside of us. That's why he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-wise. If anything, we should fear him in a reverential fear, because this being who created us can do absolutely anything. He chooses. To us, with us, whatever. That'll bring the fear of God in your heart. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. So one thing about the scriptures is God doesn't ever, I mean, when he was inspiring these men to write these scriptures, everything has a purpose. I find it interesting he planted a garden eastward in Eden. Now, he didn't say southward, he didn't say westward, and he didn't say northward. He planted it in the east. So there's something there. There's a mystery there as to why he planted it eastward. And we'll talk about that another time. But I want you all to the point I'm trying to get you all to see is when you're reading the scriptures, slow down and read it and think about what you just read. I'm like, God, why'd you say eastward? I mean, we know you could have put it in the north, you could have put it in the south, you could have put it in the west. Why east? What's so special about planting this garden in the east, in Eden? And there he put the man whom he had formed. So now we know God can plant. He planted a garden eastward in Eden. There's a place called Eden. Okay, we don't see nowhere in the scripture where this place called Eden was created, not up to this point. But God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So God, out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow. So God can make stuff grow out of the ground. See, God's hand is when you plant something. That's God who's doing the work. He's making that seed grow down. What literally happens underground, I wish I could show you all this, and one day we'll get to the point where you can see visuals. That seed bursts open, and it grows downward, and it grows these little roots. These little roots start spreading out from that seed, all over the ground. You don't see nothing above ground, but all this stuff is happening underneath the ground. All these roots are spreading out, see? And then at a certain point, after enough roots have spread it out on the ground, then the seed bursts open and it'll start growing upward, and a little stem will pop through the ground with a little leaf on it. Now it's starting to grow upward. And many years ago, I remember when God showed me that, I was like, Lord, And this is very interesting. And the more I read the scriptures, I know it was just by the Spirit was giving me something. I thought about it, and it was all God. It was all God, none of me, all of him. And I was like, Lord, that's kind of like Jesus, right? Yeah, Jesus is a seed that was planted in the earth. Okay. Jesus Christ. And from that seed comes Christians or Christians, which we're called. Jesus was on the earth 30-some years, right, before he was revealed. It was like God was getting him, watch this, rooted and grounded in the Word. Now, we know Jesus is the Word, but Jesus was being rooted and grounded. He was hidden. He was hidden, hidden in plain sight. Did nobody know he was the Son of God? You don't hear much about his childhood through the scriptures. But just imagine, his ministry didn't start coming out until he was in his 30s. So for 30 years, he's planted in the earth, just like that seed on the ground. And he's getting rooted and grounded, rooted and grounded, rooted and grounded. Then all of a sudden, he announces his ministry, goes to one of these synagogues and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he announces and says, at the end of that announcement says, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Wait a minute. Everybody's looking at this guy. Wait a minute. Isn't that Joseph's boy? What are you talking about? He's the Christ. He lost his mind. Talking about he's the Messiah. But God had him hid all those years, hidden in plain sight. Just like God says, when you plant that seed in the ground, it's going to pop up eventually and start growing. But I can't let it reveal itself until I know it's gotten strong roots in the ground. Because, see, then somebody will try to come and snatch it up. But they ain't going to snatch it up easily because it's got those roots that's holding it down. See? God is brilliant. Chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground God made the Lord grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, he made every tree grow that's out of the ground. But now I'm going to tell you about two specific trees, all right? He could have talked about any of the other trees, but he's specifically going to name two special trees. The tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and here's the second tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But look at that. We have two special trees, a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, most people don't even know it was two trees because all they ever hear about is the tree that Adam and Eve ate from that they weren't supposed to eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But once you get into the scriptures, you're going to see that there were two trees. But God only told them they couldn't eat from but one. Interesting. Two trees, God said, nope, you can eat from all the trees in the garden, but this particular tree, do not eat from it. For the day you eat from it, in that day you shall surely die. Now, we know that they lived some many years later, and we're going to talk about that. But that word death means to separate from. But it never means non-existent. We're going to always exist somewhere. Maybe in a different form, but we will exist. And you will exist either in heaven or either in hell. Everybody thinks death is the end. Death is the beginning. It's a transition into another realm, either heaven or hell, depending on the decision you made while you were in this body on this earth. That's why it's so critical for you to make the right decision and not the wrong decision. But to not make a decision by default, if you don't accept Christ, by default, you have rejected it. The only way to the Father is through the Son. So we're talking about two trees, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we got two trees. Make a note of that, two trees. And remember what I said when Adam was created, how God's Spirit came into him, made contact with the body, and then he became a living soul. that's going to be pivotal when the fall happens, when they disobey God and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when the death cycle comes in and they get separated from God, separated from God. And a river went out of Eden to the water of the garden, and from thence was parted, and it became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. Now look at this. It's a four-headed river, and that river is still there today. See, the Bible's true. And so it's amazing how we don't recognize it. We don't read it. Once we read it, we'll understand it. If you want to look at the map today, then you'll realize just how true the Bible is. The name of the first is Pison, that in which from passeth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Isn't that interesting? God just told us where the gold is at. The gold is over there near the river Pison, that in which compasses the whole land, surrounds, compass like a compass, surrounds the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. So God just told you where the gold is at. If anybody in their right mind wanted to go mine for gold, I would go to Havilah. If Havilah doesn't exist, I'd say, okay, what country is the name of Havilah today? Because we know countries have changed names. For instance, Persia today is modern-day Iraq. See, these countries also, their names have changed. That's why you have to study the history. The Bible's telling us everything. And the goal of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. Look at that. God is even telling you what's there. And the name of the second river is Gihon. Same is it that compasses, let's say surrounds. The same is it that surrounds the whole land of, watch this, Ethiopia. Now, that's interesting. Ethiopia still exists today. As a matter of fact, a couple of my neighbors are Ethiopian. And they moved from Ethiopia over here to America. So that land exists even to this day. That name stayed the same after all those years. So he says the second river is Gihon, the same that surrounds the land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. That would be considered today Syria, Assyria then. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And I think Hittekel, the name of Hittekel actually changed to Tigris. You guys may be familiar with the Tigris-Euphrates River. Those two are so close, they kind of usually put a hyphen there. And that's Hittekel. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So God just told us where the Garden of Eden was. All right? He just told us. A river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from this it was parted. So there was a river that out of Eden, a river went out of Eden to water the garden. So out of Eden, on the east side of Eden, this river goes out and waters the garden. If you want to find out where you think the Garden of Eden was in today, go over there and find those four rivers and just trace it back. Because it said that river split up into four. So if you go back to the origin point where it started splitting, you're going to be close to where Eden was actually existed. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, okay, when God commands, God commanded the man, saying, God commanded the man, saying. So God's speaking. God is saying something. His command. He's saying something. When he commands, he says something. Of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. But in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay, let's stop. Let's pause. God just told them they could eat of every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that means the tree of life was free game. They actually could have ate from the tree of life with no penalty. Now, here's what's interesting about the tree of life, I believe. This is not, how shall I say it? I'm going to say this, and then we're going to go back to the scriptures. I believe the tree of life would have given them immortality. which means they would have lived forever. I believe God would have allowed them to eat from the tree of life. You know why? Because they was in the state that God wanted them to be in. Remember, the sin hadn't entered into the world yet. They were walking, Adam walked in the cool of the day with God. So he was the perfect man for God. You see what I'm saying? He was perfect. There was no sin. If you wanted someone to stay perfect, allow them to eat of the tree of life and get immortality. They could live forever in that state. And I'm going to tell you why I believe that. Because you're going to see something in the fight did immediately after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I believe God had to do this because he didn't want them to live forever in that state. The day you shall eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day, verse 17, that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Okay, so now, up to this point, Adam's alone, right? It's not good for Adam to be alone, right? It is not good for man to be alone. I shall make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now think about that. Adam literally named all the animals. He literally named, God brought him before him. Whatever Adam said, that's what it became. If Adam said dog, dog, there it is. Adam said lion, lion. Elephant, elephant. Cat, cat. Zebra, zebra. Adam literally named all these species, these different species. These different animals, the birds too. Adam named them all. God formed the beasts of the field and every, watch this, fowl of the air, that's the bird, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called them, that's what they became. And whatsoever called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. So I want you to think about it. And I had to thank you, Holy Spirit. I had to meditate on that. For Adam, there wasn't one found like him. Adam did not see a species that was similar to him. That's what it's telling us. You know, you got these animals, they're on four legs. You might have had a gorilla or an ape or whatever, they're on two legs, but they still don't look like Adam. They still are not of the same kind as Adam. You know, we use the term mankind. See? We're telling you the species. Human. Mankind. Mankind, we look, there are similar traits that mankind has. I don't care whether you're black, white, Chinese, Russian, Japanese, Australian, African, it doesn't matter. There's certain traits as mankind that we are, similar traits that we all have as humans. Yeah, we got two different sex, a male, humankind or mankind. That's what he's saying. Adam didn't see nothing that was similar to him. So he was the only one of his kind. But God said it's not good for him to be alone. But God said, I'm going to make him a helpmeet. I'm going to make something that looks like him. That's what he's telling us. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Oh, okay. That's interesting. God caused a deep sleep. What do we do in the medical community today before we get ready to do surgery? We give them what? Anesthesia. What does anesthesia do? It causes us to go into a deep sleep. Why? Because we're about to do surgery on that person. See, everything comes from the Bible. So God about to do surgery on Adam. So before God do surgery, you're like, you know what, I better put this boy to sleep because, you know, I can't be cutting on him from the inside while he's sitting up here woke. He'd be moving around and maybe he'll feel a little pain, whatever. I need to put him to sleep, in a deep sleep. He's going to be all right, but I'm going to put him in a deep sleep. So Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So it shows you something about words in the Bible. You know that word wo, W-O, literally means out of? It literally means out of. So when he says wo man, he's literally saying out of man. Wo man came out of man. Man being human, mankind, the species of man, right? Wo man came out of man. This is something that came out of man. Man is male. But both of them are human, and both of them are mankind, which is the species. So now all of a sudden, God made something that's similar to Adam. But he took it out of Adam. Remember, God created Adam from the dust of the earth, but God created Eve from Adam. Now, neither one of them were born, right? Neither one of them really were born. They were made. Thing would have been similar to a birth. It wasn't there. So he took the rib and made Eve from Adam's rib. And she came out of man. Therefore, verse 24, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, this is in marriage. This is how God sees it, in marriage, as one. When a man and a woman goes together, God sees them as one. It's almost like when they come together, that's them coming back together as one flesh, just like in the beginning. So God sees them as one. This is like the first marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Stop. Did y'all see that? Let's read it slow. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. That's the first time you've seen the word wife, first occurrence of the word wife in the Bible right there. So if you see the word wife, you think about marriage, man and a woman getting married, husband and wife. See how the Bible defines marriage between a man and a woman. The Bible said it. I'm not saying it. It's right here. To cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh. They shall be one flesh. Adam, male. Eve, female. Man, woman, wife, one flesh, cleaving together, and they were both naked, the man and his wife. Okay, can't be no clearer than that. And they were not ashamed. So now you got this, these two beings. Adam's got somebody who's similar to him. Okay, all right, God, I appreciate that. All these other beings that I've named don't look nothing like me. You know, some of them got hairy, some of them got four legs, some of them got claws. Some of them got long noses or whatever. Some of them got scales. They don't look nothing like me. I'm alone. You created all these things that I'm going to name, but nothing is similar to me. God saw that Adam was lonely. See, God cares about you if you think you're lonely. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That shows you right there. See, you got to read the Bible in terms of even today what we understand. Because God, it's all in there. Let's go to chapter 3. Now the serpent, okay, now we're going to introduce this thing, a serpent. Now I don't know if this serpent was a snake. I think usually serpents represent a snake. Or maybe they called that serpent that then. I don't know if that's the case, but I believe that's what most scholars believe anyway. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which means he was very cunning, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, let's read this slow and let's see, wait a minute, something's about to happen here that hadn't happened before. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Okay, we know God made all these creatures. Adam named them all, right? Perhaps this particular creature, Adam named him serpent. And he said unto the woman, wait a minute. This creature can talk? This creature can talk. He said unto the woman. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman. So this serpent can talk. So all of a sudden this creature is going to talk. It's going to say something to Eve. I think this is interesting. Or at this point, say something to woman. Yea, has God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now look at his approach. Look at his approach. He is literally questioning what God told him. That's just like Satan. He gonna raise doubt in your mind. Yea, had God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God say y'all shouldn't eat of every tree of the garden? The serpent knew good and well God didn't say that. Yea, had God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? God didn't say that. God said you can't eat. God said the complete opposite. You can eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He literally went directly against God's command. That's why you got to know these scriptures, see? Because that's what the devil does. He'll go directly against what God has said. And if you don't know what God has said, you'll buy into it. But what's interesting, she knew God had said it. But watch this. Said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? He went directly against what God said, and the woman said unto the serpent, hold it, stop. You need to be having a conversation with this guy. This guy has told you something literally that is not true, and you know it's not true. Don't even entertain a conversation. But said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Okay. First of all, he done went against the commandment of God about eating of every tree in the garden. And now he's saying, no, you're not lying. You ain't gonna, you shouldn't die. You ain't going to die. But God know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Knowing good and evil. Now look at that term, knowing good and evil. Because at first I read it and I was like, okay, wait a minute now. Now let's back up. Let's back up. This is how you study the word and you meditate in it. Now, initially God told them, 17, chapter 2, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So they knew that if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day they eat of it, they're going to surely die. And they had disobeyed God's commandment. This serpent comes over here, and first of all, he twisted. First of all, God told them they can eat of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. Verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it thereof. On that particular tree, you shall surely die. First thing the serpent said, God said, yea, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? God didn't say that. God said you can eat it. He said the complete opposite, with the exception of one tree. And so then the woman, she has this conversation. She begins to explain to him, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. And I thought that was interesting. She didn't say the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She said the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. So apparently this particular tree was in the middle, in the midst of the garden, was in the middle of the garden, said you should not eat of it, meaning a particular tree, it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, and the serpent immediately said unto the woman, you shall not truly die, for God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. A partial truth. That's partially true. When they ate of that tree, their eyes weren't going to be open. And they were going to know good and evil, but God didn't want them to know that. See, a half-truth, not the whole truth, a half-truth, mixed with a lie. It's still a lie. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Look at that. All of a sudden, this woman saw this tree in a whole different manner. After this serpent and planted a seed in her mind through words, a suggestion. Is that the reason God didn't want to see from it? Let me take a look at this tree again. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Oh, look at the food of that. Man, that food on that tree looked real good. It looked better than all the rest. I haven't tasted all the others, man. This is one I hadn't tasted yet. Y'all see where I'm going with this? I haven't tasted all the other ones. This is one I hadn't tasted. Just like humans, we always want what we can't have. This is the same thing. You can fast forward that to modern day. We always want what we can't have. We see somebody else got something and we want it. Now, mind you, we can have everything else, but this one thing, it may not even be better than any other stuff, but we want it because we can't have it. That makes it even more desirable. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Look at that. Something about that eye gate. We talked about those senses, right? I'm going to give you all a quick little brief review. The senses, we have five senses, touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. Those five senses are what God created for us so that we can make contact with the world. We touch certain things, we taste certain things, we see certain things, we hear certain things, we feel certain things. Those are gates. And through those gates, depending on what we're entertaining with them, some things we're not supposed to be looking at. Some things we're not supposed to be touching. Some things we're not supposed to be smelling. Some things we're not supposed to be tasting. Some things we're not supposed to be hearing. All those gates get on the inside of us. When we watch certain movies, they get on the inside of us. When we hear certain sounds, certain music, they get on the inside of us. When we touch certain things, whether it's smooth or rough or slick or slime or whatever, it gets on the inside of us. See, God knows that there are certain things that we should not be engaged in because he knows that's going to corrupt us. And these are the gates we have to protect. I call them the gates to the inside. Picture I would like to show you all, but I can't show you because we're on the phone. But imagine a circle in your mind and just get a picture of a circle, or you got your pencil and paper, draw a circle on the paper. Now I want you to take your eraser, and I want you to go to the edge of that circle, and in five different places on that circle, I want you to erase the line. Now you got an opening in that circle, right? And each one of those circles is a gate. And on that circle, you can put taste. On that opening, on one opening, you could put taste, the next one, touch, the next one, see, the next one, smell, the next one, hear. And everything that comes through those openings get on the inside of that circle. On the inside of that circle is your spirit. You know, your heart. Your heart. And certain things get in there, and they will corrupt your heart. They get on the inside of that and corrupt your heart. Start listening to the wrong type of music, and all of a sudden you're cursing. Man, I never used to say stuff like that. Where'd that come from? Well, listen to the music you're looking at. Start watching certain things on TV, and all of a sudden you want to start doing stuff that you see on TV. I've never and you say, where'd that come from? Came from that TV. Touching, tasting, smelling here. So, see, that's why we have to guard those. You can walk around certain people who got on certain types of perfume, and when you smell that perfume, you start feeling some kind of way. Woo, that smells good. Girl, wow. Where you get that from? All these strong feelings, emotions, desires come up. So, anyway, let me get back to the scriptures. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so her eye gate is now enticed. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Look at that, pleasant. All of a sudden, this fruit on this tree is pleasant to the eyes. It wasn't pleasant before. This serpent has ears, okay? Went through the ear gate, got on the inside, now it's starting to impact the eye gate. Now all of a sudden, it looks better than it looked yesterday before this serpent even talked to her. And the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Ooh, man. This tree, oh, I desire this food. It's going to make me smart. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She couldn't take it. I got to get it. I just got to have it. Oh, you all know how it is. Oh, man, I see some cheesecake. I got to have that cheesecake. Got that strawberry on it. Got that. I just got to have it. I know I don't need it, but, you know, it's calling my name. It's calling me some kind of way. Then I start acting some kind of way. Exactly what happened to Eve right here. Okay, so all of a sudden she took it. She did eat. And here's what's interesting. After she ate it, she gave it also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Adam, dude, you're the man of the house. What's up? You're supposed to shut that down when she had that conversation. Where were you? This serpent over here talking to your woman, talking about going directly against what God said? And you just going to fall in line with the woman and take the fruit yourself and just eat it because she ate it. So, see, she's pleasant to your eyes, so you want to please her. You forgot about pleasing God. Now God has created something that's similar to you. And she said, oh, here you go, honey. Take this fruit. Okay. Okay. Now he's eating it. Knowing good well God what God had said. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open. See, the serpent told them the day they eat of their eyes were open, so there was a partial truth there. Their eyes did open, all right? And I'm going to tell you what I believe. This is my theory. When their physical eyes open, their spiritual eyes shut. See, they were walking in the spirit with God in the cool of the day. But now it's all of a sudden they eat this fruit. The spiritual eyes shut and the physical eyes open. And when their physical eyes open, now they're looking at all the stuff in the world, and they're like, we're naked. What? We're naked. They never knew they were naked. Look at this. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew, all of a sudden, now they got some knowledge coming from somewhere. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Isn't that interesting? They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. All of a sudden they want to hide from God. But before this fruit, hey, they had no problem. They could walk with God in the cool of the day. So what changed? Something changed when they ate that fruit. Sin entered on the inside of their heart. See? Supposed to be tasting those five senses. When they tasted that apple, oh, man, it got on the inside of them then, bro. It's over with. It's there now. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They stood up there hiding behind the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Isn't that interesting? God called a man. Look, you're the first one I made. I gave you dominion. I put you in charge of things over here. Yeah, I made Eve from you, but I'm going to hold you accountable and responsible because I commanded you and told you what not to do and what you could do. God already knew they had failed him. What's interesting, God already knew that was going to happen even before it happened. That's a whole other sermon. That's a long story, but God already knew it. That's how brilliant God is. And the Lord God called upon Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Oh, afraid? That's a new term. So now fear has entered into his heart. Fear wasn't there before. There was no fear. Fear entered into his heart because he was naked.
She won't know if I'm still online.
Hello?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you guys, you want to mute yourself? Hello? So let me keep going. Fear had entered into his heart, and he said, I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou was naked? As thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, that thou should not eat. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now I have to commend Adam. He told the truth. She gave it to me, but I did eat. Okay. I'm gonna go very quickly because I know we run out of time. First of all, fear got into his heart. Fear came through that gate. It came, but once they tasted it, all kinds of stuff changed. Their eyes opened. They realized they was naked, and now they're afraid. They realized they were naked, and now they're afraid. Look at that. Praise God. And the man said, the woman thou gavest me, be with me, she gave it to me, and I did eat. Verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? What have you done, Adam? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. It's interesting. Everybody's pointing the blame to somebody else. Adam said, yeah, I ate. But the woman, listen here, the woman, watch this. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. You gave me this woman, God. You're the one who gave me this woman. Look, before this woman came in here, I ain't had no problem. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, almost like you're kind of blaming God a little bit. She gave me of the tree and I did eat. Look at that, Adam, really? Dude, really? You going to blame it on, okay. First of all, you're going to kind of fightly blame it on God because he created the woman out of your rib, which he took out of you. But then you'll sit up and blame the woman. She gave it to me, so that's why I ate it. She gave it to me. And then God turned to the woman and said, what have you done? The woman says, the serpent. He's the one who beguiled me. He tricked me. And I did eat. And that guy going to turn to the serpent. Everybody pointing the finger at somebody else. Isn't that like today? Nobody wants to take responsibility. Nobody wants to take responsibility. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shall thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I'm going to stop right there. Because next week when we jump in it, we're going to see the punishment for what they did. All three of them are going to get punished for what they did. The serpent, Eve, and Adam. And it's interesting, the punishment that God gave them, because there is a connection between how God is punishing them. There's really a there's a mystery connection right there in the punishment that God gave them. And the point I'm trying to make is this. This is why it's so important to get into the scriptures. So you see the parallelism, but you also compare it to today. That's exactly like us. We don't take responsibility for anything. We always want to blame somebody else. When our integrity, Adam, I would have wished Adam would have said, you know what, God, I missed it, man. I messed up. You know, I got caught up into my wife, and you know, I love her. I'm grateful for you know you creating it for me. I'm very thankful, but you know, I got caught up into her, and I disobeyed you by listening to her and eating of the fruit. It's my fault. Number one, it's my fault because I shouldn't have had her out there in the garden talking to no serpent anyway. As soon as that serpent opened his mouth, I should have shut him down. I should have shut that conversation down. That conversation never should have happened. So I take full responsibility for it, God. This is on me. This is not on her. It's not even on him. Had I shut it down at the beginning, it never would have happened. That's what I wish Adam would have said. Instead of, you know what, you gave me this woman, and I don't know, you know, I'm in love with her, and She looked so good, and I'm willing to do anything for her. She gave me that food, and I didn't even think twice. I ate it. You know? Or Eve say, yeah, you know, I was out there, and I was in the garden, and, you know, this serpent came up to me and started talking, and instead of me saying, look, you need to go talk to my husband, man. I ain't having no conversation with you. I listened to him. And as I listened to him, and he the first thing he did, he doubted what you said. He raised doubt in my mind against what you said, and I should have known right then to shut this conversation down. But I didn't. I continued on. The next thing I know, that tree started looking a whole lot better. That fruit started looking a whole lot good, and I decided to act on it, and I took it, and I ate it, and I gave it to my husband. Accountability, responsibility, integrity. You know, that's what God is looking for. God possibly could have forgiven him. But you're going to see next week their punishment, and you're also going to see next week what we talked about with not only their punishment has a connection, but what God did immediately about the other tree. Now, they definitely can't eat of that other tree. And I believe it, like I said, I believe that tree would have given them immortality, which means they would have lived forever in the state, in that fallen state. And God could not allow that, could not allow it. Because they eat of that tree of life, I believe it would have allowed them to live forever, which means they would never died. They just would have lived in sin before a judgmental God. And, you know, mankind would have been doomed. But God's first act of protection, you will see, is he protected the tree of life. And you'll see that next week in verse 24 at the very end of this chapter. So it's important for us to really get into the scriptures, read it slow. First of all, ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, Spirit to teach us. The only way we can ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, we have to be born again. So some of you out there who are listening right now, you haven't given your life to Christ. And some of this stuff I'm saying doesn't quite make a lot of sense to you. To you, it's just a story. This is just a story. He's telling stories like a storyteller. All this stuff actually happened. The Word of God is truth. It's the only truth that is in the earth, the only truth that ever is and ever will be. Let God be true and every man be a liar. This is the only truth that there is. It's God's Word. That's why I think it's important to stick to the Scriptures. Let the Scriptures speak. As a man of God, I believe that God gave us these Scriptures, not only as divine inspiration so we can have the mind of Christ, but also for our instruction and for our direction. So this is the book that, the only book we can use for it. I may start talking about other things, but I'm telling you right here, the only truth there is the Word of God. And everything came from the Word of God. Everything, all these different systems in the world, the medical, the medical system, the financial system, there's all these different systems in the world. The world is a system. The earth is a planet. That's when Jesus was saying, we're in this world, but not of this world. We're in this system of operation, but we're not of this system of operation. The system that we come up from out of is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God system is totally different from the world system. And even the world system is made up of many different systems. And each of those systems have their own language. I'll talk about that another day. But each system has their own language, the medical system, the legal system, the educational system, the financial system. All of them have their own terminology, their own languages. But that's just what they are. They are systems. And those systems will fail. The only system that goes above all those systems is the kingdom of God system. His system is above all because he God. He's in charge of everything. He created all things. So for those of you all who are not born again, I plead with you, I beg you, give your life to Christ. And I want you all to bow your head if you're not born again right now. I want you to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that I've heard your word. I believe your word is true, Lord God. And Father, I know my life is a mess right now. I know I got things going on that only you know about. You know about everything because you created everything. And Lord, I need your help. I want to live my life for you. I believe, Lord, that Jesus is your son. I believe he died on the cross for me, for all my mistakes, all my sins, all the things that I've done. He paid the price for it when he died on that cross for God. And I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. I confess it right now with my mouth. I say Jesus is my Lord, and I believe it in my heart. Lord, I believe that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Lord God, for saving me this day. And Father, make me new again. Teach me your word. Give me wisdom on how to deal wise in all the affairs of life. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to hear your word today. Thank you, Lord, for saving me this day. I give you all honor, all glory, and all praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And I praise God for you. For those of you all who prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Your life will never be the same again. If you prayed that prayer, two things I need for you to do. Number one, if you don't have a Bible, find a Bible, get a Bible. This is your user manual for life. This is what you're going to need to begin to learn how to live the right way. Also, find you a church or just keep coming back to PNN if you can't find a church in your area. You have to get under a man or woman of God that's teaching the scriptures, that's teaching the word. And you all spend time with God on your own reading the Bible. Just take some time out every day and read the scriptures. Pray before you read. Say, Holy Spirit, teach me in Jesus' name. And whatever the Holy Spirit leads you, when you open that book, you begin to read from there. He'll begin to teach you. He will begin to teach you everything you need to know if you ask him. That's his whole purpose. His whole job is to lead and guide you into all truth. And thy word is truth. God's word is truth. And I want to just thank everybody for being on the phone line tonight and bearing with me and having patience. I pray that each of you all got blessed by this message. I'm going to hang out in Genesis for a while. We're going to pick up next Friday where we left off. So you will see this continuation of how God created everything. And you'll begin to see and understand some things about God. Who is this God? Who is this God that we worship? Who is this God that we pray to? Who is this God that seems like, for most people, is over there, out there somewhere? This is the God, the creator of all the heaven and the earth. This is the great I am. This is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is the God who gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. And Jesus got raised from the dead on the third day. And now Jesus is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he's interceding for us. He's praying for us because he sees all the things that we go through. This is the God who sent the Holy Spirit to the earth. He sent them after Jesus left the earth. The Holy Spirit came. He's a comforter. He's here to comfort us, to lead and to guide us into all truth. He sticks closer to us than any brother. He lives on the inside of us. He helps us. Even when there's no one else that's going to help us, he's right there for us. He's always here with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll give us a conscience when we're getting ready to do something bad. He'll show us a way out. This is the God that we serve. This is the God who inspired men to write these scriptures, to give us instructions and directions on how to live this life. And Father, how grateful we are for this word. How grateful we are for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for teaching us and leading and guiding us into all truth. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. And, Father, as we go throughout the rest of this weekend and even into next week, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. We give you praise for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can somebody say amen? Amen, amen. Good teaching. Good teaching. And we just bless the Lord. We give God thanks and we give God praise on today. We bless him and honor him for this word on today. We bless him for the messenger. Amen. Have your hearts truly been blessed on today. Your heart's been blessed on today. We just thank God. Amen. We thank God for this kingdom message. And we bless the Lord. We thank the Lord. Amen. We thank God for you on tonight, man of God. We thank God for the word on tonight. And I tell you, this word was right all by itself. And so we just thank God tonight. Amen. I tell you, so much was said on tonight, people of God, to help us to understand this Elohim, this man, the God that we serve. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. To peel back, to open our mind, open our understanding, to open our hearts to who God really is. Amen. He's more than, people of God, he's more than we can even know. Amen. But as the scripture declares, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
Man, and we thank God for enlightening. Thank you for opening our eyes, causing us to understand, causing us to see him. Glory to God. And to see him as he is, people of God. Amen. Here in the earth, not on in the by and by. Not in the by and by, but right here in the earth. So we bless God and thank him tonight. Amen. Again, we thank him for you, Craig. We bless God for you. Thank you for your commitment to continue to be with us here. Amen. Truly, we have been blessed. Amen. Truly, we are blessed by the teaching.
Amen.
And as the man of God said, he's just going to hang out right there in Genesis. I tell you, it's so beautiful when you just take your time and go through the scriptures. And the Lord began to reveal and open your eyes. You can take one scripture today, and God will reveal something to you. You can take another day, tomorrow, 2 days after, look at that same scripture, and the Lord will illuminate your mind. And I thank God, he will take, Lord have mercy. He can take one scripture and take each word and open your mind and just, oh my God, just open your eyes to a whole new understanding. So as we're seeking after him, after him, glory be to God, people of God, let me tell you something. If we open our hearts, the more we open our hearts, we were in our camp meeting, and one of the men of God was saying that the more I know, the more I realize that I don't know. So it's like the more, so it's like the more we learn of him, the more he reveals himself to us, we realize in all that we knew nothing. Ooh, that's just the awesomeness of God. And when we give our hearts, we give our mind and our spirit to really understand him, and as you do, man of God, you take your time and you just go through the scripture, and the Lord just reveals and pulls back. And as you go through the scriptures like that, I'm telling you, God will really reveal himself in a mighty way. So we bless God tonight for this word. Amen. I'm just encouraging you to hang in there with us, as the man of God said, hang on out right over there in Genesis, because there's yet so much. Let me say this, man of God. I was talking to my son the other day, and he was talking about galaxies, and he was looking at all of the galaxies and how many galaxies it takes to make or to make one universe. And then it's like once you begin to look at the billions of galaxies there are, and Earth is just one galaxy. The
just
Earth is
one
only
small,
one galaxy,
exactly.
The Milky Way.
Right.
But
come
listen,
on. Say it.
So how, what did you say, man of God?
I said, you better come on, better say it. That's the awesomeness of God. Go ahead, go ahead.
Exactly.
God.
And as he began to talk, we begin to look at how from one galaxy, there are so many billions of galaxies, but from one galaxy to the other galaxy, 90 million light years. 90
years.
Million light years to get from one galaxy to another galaxy. And there are so many millions of galaxies out there. Let me tell you something.
Out there.
Yeah. So let me tell you something, people of God. Even as you were talking, man of God, even as you were talking, and I begin to think about how the Bible is so limited, what if that, just that information right there was a part of in the beginning God?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If it was just so that our would see, so that our minds would be able to, we can't wrap it around it, but for us to understand,
we can't wrap it around.
Cannot. But to realize that in the beginning, God is so much more in that than our mind.
Sure is. Right.
So
our minds can't even comprehend it.
And can't even.
Think about it like that. It changes your whole view.
Yes, it
of
does.
Who God is.
Yes, it does.
It almost forces you into a reverential fear. See, we have the wrong view of God. Our view
that's
of God is like, he's like, but when you really get the right view of God, then you understand why it's so truly important. Holiness is so vital. Everything is, because he is so much bigger, so much greater, so much beyond our comprehension.
Yeah.
You know, we're just one little small speck in the galaxy.
Yeah,
one speck. One little small speck.
Yeah.
And that's our whole world. And that's like, you know, that's nothing. It says the earth is like God's footstool.
Yes.
Think about that. We're just one small speck in the entire universe. I mean, once again, I praise God for you saying that, because when you bring it all together, that's why it's so important to look at the Bible from a, even from a scientific view. It'll blow your mind. God,
it'll blow.
It will blow your mind when you really think about who God is, who God truly is, and get the right view of God.
Yes.
God, I didn't mean to get off on that.
That's okay. As you say, that's talking my language right there. And we just want to appeal to the listeners, to the people of God, that, you know, in all that, as you even begin to talk about the awesomeness of God, we just want to bring that into perspective right there, because even in looking at that, it causes you to almost get off to yourself and be like, wow, God, you know.
Right.
You're all that.
Right.
You're all that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
right.
You're
you
more.
Really are. I mean, we really can't. We begin to comprehend, you know, this God that we serve. Can't even begin to comprehend, and that's that. And but it changes your view. You're like, wow, Lord.
Yeah.
And I think I'll share this. I think the guys in the scriptures, from the people in the scriptures, when they, you know, of course, they didn't have all the distractions we have, the technology and all that stuff. So they had a lot of time. God.
Yeah.
They understood some things we didn't understand. They had their view of God was totally different than our view of God. You know, I mean. You got a plethora of fire you're following by night, and a cloud by day. The cloud is literally leading you. The cloud is moving, saying, "Come this way," and you're following the cloud. And you're not thinking nothing about it.
I was like, God. But God can do that because that's how awesome he is. But it's this cloud in the sky. This cloud is falling. And then you get a pillar of fire. All of a sudden, this fire, this thing that's being burned is not even being consumed.
Yes.
And you're following it at
night. Yes.
A pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And you're looking at it like, God, I can't even wrap my head around that. You
yes.
know, I mean, but the people of old, because see, they,
yes.
they, it's like they feared him so much. Like, oh, well. Oh, we have wrong, God. We have messed up. Moses, will you go in before God and perhaps he'll have mercy on us? Because we messed up. We already
yes.
see. This
yes.
happened. But God said this, and we went the other direction. You know what I'm saying? They had a reverential fear that is unfathomed today. Now
that's
we,
right.
We've got, we don't have a fear of God. We think God is like us. We think he's over there out there somewhere.
Exactly.
You know, we don't that fear that we need to have. I'm sorry, I'm getting off track.
You're right, but you're right, though. You're right, though, because
oh,
when we reverence God as in the awesomeness that he is, I mean,
yeah.
because
yeah.
God is light. God is pure energy, but we don't see it
yeah.
like that. But in the universe,
yeah.
And even as the man of God said, in his universal and everlasting kingdom is no flesh and blood.
Yeah.
So we can't liken him to flesh
right.
and blood, to just a man, to us.
Right.
Yeah. So if we really want to get the true essence of him, we've got to, all that we learned, that we thought we knew, we got to get rid of that. But that expands your faith, and it expands your faith because again, like I said, the scriptures that Christ is mean a hope of glory, right? So Christ is in us,
right?
And then you know what I'm saying. So, but I was talking to my son again, and so I got my grandbaby with me. And so we've been on this universal, the universe, the God of God, he God of the universe. And so I was telling him, I had spent the night over to this one lady's house. And so I was like, well, I just had my little granddaughter to sleep in the room with me and everything. And he was like, well, why you got to sleep with you? You got all these rooms in here. I said, well, I just prefer her to be in here with me. And so he looked at the room. He pointed around the room. He says, "This all you have?" He said, "Is this all the faith that you have? You don't believe that your spirit can cover her even in another room?" You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The God that is
right.
in you don't have enough faith to cover her in another room.
Right.
And it was like,
right.
looking at the four walls, like, is this it? Is this all you have? But
right.
we saying that, yeah, I mean, blew us out of the water. And so we just both was like, whoa. You know, because that
yeah.
gives us something to think about, because we think about children, we pray in our children and stuff like that, but we don't even think about, you know, God, you cover, the God in you, that your spirit can actually cover people, not just
yeah.
here, but people in the next state, people in the next country. But, again, it's taking the limits off of what we thought, or taking the limit. It's taking us
right.
out of these earthen vessels. Because
it shows you, too, the love that God has for us, his creation, that he would entrust us with his spirit on the inside of us, this
yes.
spirit that created all the universe, that created
yes.
everything, all the
yes.
power. He placed it on the inside of us, and how special
yes.
this place called the earth is to him.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he could have used any planet.
That's
he could have
right.
used any being.
That's right.
He could have birthed his son anywhere.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, but cause all these galaxies, all these planets, and you know, all these things that are out of the universe. So yeah, we've got to. It changes your view of who God
yes.
is, and it also, you talk about expanding your faith. Wait a minute, God created everything, and
that's right.
I'm gonna tell you the one thing. I'll share this with you. And I said this before, there's a book that really began to expand my faith about my view of God. It's called The Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer. The Knowledge of the Holy. For those who are listening, there's a book called The Knowledge of the Holy. It'll give you a whole entirely different view of God. I mean, it expanded my view of God. I got a complete increase in faith. And just from reading, of course, the Bible is the most important book. Of course, sometimes God will lead you to things that he's revealed to other men and women.
That's right.
And give you some nuggets. That way God can speak to us many different ways. But it gave me a different view of who God is. And when something happens in my life now, I have to say, wait a minute, God, you already knew.
Mm-hmm.
So God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. Nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. Good or bad. If God allows it, that means he's got something in it that's going to come out for your good. You may not understand it. You may not even like it. But this is God's plan and God's purpose. And when you really understand who God is and say, wait a minute, God, you know everything. You know, I knew everything. You knew we were going to be talking right now about this very subject. God knew that you all listening on the phone would be here tonight listening to this conversation.
He already
knew you was going to be here.
That's right.
See, we think we're so smart and we did it. What the scripture say? Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man know his way?
That's right.
Our goings and our cuts are of God. We don't know our way. We think we're doing it. But God is leading the guy. God knows absolutely everything. Everything.
Yes.
He already knew Adam and Eve was so fair before he even created them.
Yes.
That's why he had the plan for getting us back to redemption. He already knew this. And that's hard for us to comprehend that somebody knows everything, that they see everything, they know all the people's lives and what's going on in everybody's life, but God does. And when you wrap your head around that as best you can, because I still can, it will explode your faith. You go into a situation or a circumstance that you don't understand. You go into a situation or circumstance that you are afraid you're not going to come out of the right way. You have to pause and say, wait a minute, Lord, this is what I need.
That's right.
I said, God, but wait a minute. Now, I don't know how this is going to work out, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little scared, Lord, but I know you're with me. I know you're going to make this work out for my good. All things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose.
That's right.
Lord God, I don't understand. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know you're with me. I take great joy in knowing that you will never leave me or forsake me.
Mm-hmm.
I take great joy in knowing that even if nobody here that I know, even if no human is here, that you are here right now at this very moment on the inside of me. And you will protect me. You will comfort me. You will never leave me nor forsake me.
Yeah.
That gives me great joy in the God that we serve. So, we got to expand our view. God, we have to expand our view of who God is. We got to stop looking at God like he's one of us.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're made in his image, not the other way around.
That's right.
You know, so,
right.
Woo.
Right.
Praise God.
I tell you, I have been blessed by this. And you know what, Minister Craig, I think, at some point, I would really love to do some dialogues, because even as we're talking, there's so much that comes out, in our conversation. But I would like to have I don't know what you would call it, maybe just a discussion or whatever, so that we can just follow the leading
God
of
is.
The Lord. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit that's leading to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think see the reality of, wait a minute, they're just like me. I mean, I can explain certain situations and circumstances, you know, where God delivered me from something, a testimony, in a situation that literally seemed impossible. Some of the things that me and my wife have been through, as we was raising our child, things that were literally impossible. I mean, there was times I remember having to send my kid to school, we sent her to private school. There was a time, let me tell you something, I think I owed like $5,000. I woke up that morning, it was due that day. And when my wife left the house, I told her I'd have it by that evening, not knowing exactly how it was going to happen. I spoke it in faith. Like mm-hmm. Abraham said, me and the boy, we're going on this mountain, but we're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But God had already made a promise to him that he was going to be the father of many nations. So if he was his only child, how
yeah.
can he be the father of many nations? But he
yeah.
believed God, and he said, okay, don't y'all worry about anything. Y'all stay down here. Me and the boy, we're going up on here, and we're going to come back. And then the boy said, well, Father, where the sacrifice is? Don't worry about
mm-hmm.
it. God will provide the sacrifice. So come with me. We're going to be on this mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was already
that's
there.
That's faith. Yeah, it was already
it was
there.
Already
but
there.
What I'm saying is Abraham, God then gave him the commandment to go up there and sacrifice his only child.
Right.
But God then also told him he's going to be the father of many nations. So how is that going to happen?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But, okay, God,
right.
I ain't going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to believe what you have. I'm going to obey you. And these people who say, well, when, yeah, me and the boy, we're going to come back. I'm just going to talk in faith. In other words, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. But if I go up here and kill this child, you better raise him up from the dead or something, because you done told me, you made me a promise that I'm going to be the father of many nations. But if I kill my only child, how is that going to happen?
Yeah.
You figure it out.
Yeah.
See, that's what I call that violent faith. You're like, God, you said this. I didn't say this. So
that's
how
right.
do you need to do it? You have to raise him from the dead. After I put this knife in him, you better raise him from the dead.
Yeah.
Because it's on you. It ain't on me. I'm just obeying what you said. See,
mm-hmm.
how you going to do it? So praise
yeah.
God. Oh, we got to
yeah.
go out. But that yeah. will make you believe God. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Praise God. Mm.
I love it. And like I said, I would love to have some discussions. And,
yeah.
you know, as we can really, you know, as the Lord really
yeah.
unraveled and opened some things up to us. Because, you know, I do thank God for the preach word, but I thank God for the
mm-hmm.
teach word because, you know, the more it's like God can only reveal himself to you as much as your knowledge of him.
Exactly.
He can
exactly.
only reveal.
That's
right. So if your knowledge of him is if your knowledge, just in comparison, if your knowledge of him is a car, if your knowledge of him is a Ford Taurus, that's
right.
the amount of knowledge you have of him. But compared to somebody who has great knowledge of him, I really understand
right.
him, then
right.
You can be a Lamborghini? You know, real
right.
expensive car or a Corvette. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So you get a Ford Taurus
right.
compared to a Corvette, and the difference
right.
is the knowledge that you have of him.
Right.
So the more knowledge that you have of him, the more he can reveal to you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the only way you get that knowledge, you get into those scriptures. Let me tell you, that scripture that says study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, right
mm-hmm.
to divide the word of truth. Study
mm-hmm.
to show yourself approved. A lot of people say thinking that's just approval from God, but I want you to think about it. If you're studying for something in the world and you pass this exam, you get certified. You get
mm-hmm.
you get acknowledged that you are an expert in this area. So God is saying, you got to study my word. If you want to know me, you want to draw closer to me, get into my word. You really want to know me? Not just know about me, but you want to know me? Get into these scriptures. I'm going to show you things. I'm going to reveal things. I'm going to unveil things and reveal
mm-hmm.
things to you that will blow your
yeah.
But if people don't decide to study, that goes back to the milk and the meat, all right?
Yeah.
The baby
yeah.
needs the milk. The mature person needs the meat. He can chew. He can chew on it. You
That's
chew
right.
on it, chew on it, chew on it, chew on it. That baby, you know, when
mm-hmm.
I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child. But then I became a man and I put away childish things. God wants us to grow up, and the only way we can grow up spiritually in his word is to stay in those scriptures. And he'll begin
yeah.
to reveal and unveil himself. Like you said, like an onion being peeled back,
yeah.
layer by
yeah.
layer,
yeah.
line by line, precept by precept.
Yeah.
And as I always gets expanded of him, then faith isn't a problem anymore. Somebody
exactly.
say, well, God, you don't laugh at him.
Yes.
Man, the last time I was down there, they threw me in this lion's den, and I came out without a smell of smoke. So if you sit up here and tell me there is no God, I know you're a fool, because I have experienced him.
That's
all right?
Right.
You're crazy, man. But you just say there is no God, man. What the word of God said, fool is the man who says in his heart, there is no God.
That's right.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got thrown in the fiery furnace. So, mm-hmm. And not only did they throw them in, they turned the fire up when they got in there. And they
That's
came
right.
out without a smell of smoke. I bet
That's
you when
right.
they came out, there was nothing. Nobody couldn't tell them about God.
That's it.
Man, oh, my God. Their faith went through the roof. There was
That's
nothing.
It.
I'm sure.
That's
man,
it.
Man, their life has been spared. They've been thrown in fire. And
mm-hmm.
they come out alive without the smell of smoke. Only God. Can't nobody do that but God.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who tells me there ain't no God, get out of faith. Uh-uh. No. You ain't have no problem with their faith. They went in with faith, though. But they came
That's
out
right.
with an expanded faith. So
That's
they
right.
experienced God like nobody else has. You know?
That's right.
So, That's the way God wants us to live. All this mess in the world, this killing, all this stuff that's going on, we have all the power and all the authority on the inside of us.
Yes.
God has entrusted, placed that on the inside of us. What can man do to us?
Right.
Absolutely
right.
Nothing. We shouldn't fear no thing. We got God
yes.
on the inside of us.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the way we have to walk, the way we got to carry ourselves. And the world
mm-hmm.
will look at us like we're arrogant, but they won't understand our arrogance and our confidence is not in ourselves. It's in the God that's on the inside of us.
Yes.
That's what's going on. That's it.
And even on that note, you know, like my son said to me, he said, is this all the faith you got? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we're talking.
It's like the scripture that says, is anything too hard for God?
That's right.
Remember?
That's right.
Remember the scripture that says, anything too hard for God?
That's right.
When she laughed and said, shall I have a baby at 80 years old? Wait a minute.
Right.
Is anything too hard for God?
Right.
Really?
Right.
You claim to know me, but you actually question me. Can I give you a baby at 80 years old? Don't you realize I created you?
Do you know who I am? I am God.
Right.
Oh, my
do
God.
Do not know. Yes.
Listen,
you
people
of
God.
Am.
Listen,
oh God.
As we are ministering, we're ministering to ourselves because this builds our faith.
Yes, it does.
And we hope that you leave this line with your mind elevated. We pray that you
yes.
leave this line with your mind expanded. You know,
yes.
even as the scripture declares, like in the beginning, God, you know, the man of God is here in Genesis. And we're talking about this God of the universe. And he wants
yes.
to reveal himself to us, his people.
Yes.
And it took me to the scripture over in Daniel where it says, but the people who know their God
right.
shall be strong.
To do great
exploits. Yes.
Come on, girl.
So, and the Lord desires people of God, he desires, again, you
yes.
know, and I know that this is causing us to shift. This now is causing our minds to be transformed. It's causing our
yes.
minds to be transformed in a very real way. So we pray
yes.
that you leave this line thinking about this God of the universe, this God
yes.
who in the beginning created,
yes.
you know, this God
Everything.
Who created galaxies and universes.
Yes.
And understand where we are. Like you said, we're but a speck. But that's why the scripture declares, as far as the heavens are high.
The east to the west.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, yes. So
mm-hmm.
our thoughts
mm-hmm.
are not like his thoughts, but people of God.
And our ways are not like
ways. Not his ways, but it's already determined, this great God of the universe, and even as you say, man of God, you know, even as the scripture says, You know, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We
right.
were in God in the beginning. How can he forget about
right.
us? How can he not be concerned
right.
about us? He has a specific
right.
plan. Listen, he has a specific plan, just like he
yes.
hung the galaxies and none of them are running into each other. Well, every now and then they contrary one, they say they run into each other. But you'll believe that God is in control of that. But you got all of these millions of galaxies out there, and people of God, we are part of it. And,
yes.
and the scripture declares that we are the apple of his eye. Who
we sure are.
In this big universe,
come on.
All of this
in
that
all
God
the
created,
universe.
All of these galaxies,
right.
and I'm the
right.
apple of his eye. Oh, my God. And he has a plan.
That's
yes.
why I say the earth is a special place. That's
yes.
why he talks about the earth. See, we don't realize, I mean, you know, man, we can't even begin. Well, I'm telling you, it's just, we are just that special God. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We don't realize. We can't even begin to even comprehend. But see, I believe, praise God, I believe that a part of the reason
mm-hmm.
in these end times that we're in, we're going to have to know God for who he is.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to really know God. We're going to have to really know God. And this message coming out in these end times is going to have to be about really knowing God.
Yes.
And the only way you can really begin to understand, to expand your mind, expand your faith. God said if you had faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain.
Say that.
The mustard seed is the smallest seed. Mustard seed is one. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell y'all something. I praise God. You're going to love this, sister. I got a pack of mustard seeds right here that I keep in my wallet just to remind me that's the only kind of faith that I need. I got it right here. I'm shaking it now. This
my
is the
God.
Only kind of faith that I need. This tiny bit of faith is all I need. God said if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that is out there. This thing is so tiny, I wish I could show it to you. It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. But I keep it in my wallet to remind me. Okay, Lord, I got all I need is just a little bit of faith, and I got it right here.
I
keep it in my wallet because I have to remind myself. I also got a card in my wallet that I've had for years that I made. And I have to share that with you another time. You'll be blown away, but I call it my spiritual green card. I'm going to read it to you. It says spiritual green card residence. Temporary residence. I've kept it for years. I made it on my country many years ago. Country of birth, the third heaven, heaven of heaven.
All right.
My card expires when Jesus returns. I've been a resident since my birthday, 10/16/65. On the back, it's the rules and the regulations. It says, and I can't even hold a reader, but one of the rules says, you are permitted to leave the earth and return with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the time appointed by the one true and living God himself.
Mm-hmm.
You must continue to reside on the earth as long as God allows you to be here. This means you must fulfill the will of God for your life while you're on the earth. I mean, you are permitted to start a business or a ministry as long as it glorifies the one true and living God in heaven. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Praise God. I made this years ago. I kept it in my wallet. It looks like and I laminated it. But what I'm trying to tell you, that's how real this is to me. You know, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, and I have to remind myself because, you know, we lose our faith sometimes. Depending on the situation or the circumstance that we're involved in, something some pressure from the enemy pushed on us, or something we done got ourselves into that we took our eyes off of Jesus and start trying to do something on our own. But we'll miss it. But, you know, God was a reminder. Every time I open that wall, I look at those seeds, I was like, okay, God, all right, that's right. You're in control of this. You're the Alpha and Omega, the first. Everything you begin, you go in.
Yeah.
Everything begins with God, and everything's going in with God.
Yeah,
he's the first and the last, Alpha and Omega, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know you have already worked it out.
Yes.
And I'm just going to trust you and rely on you. I don't know. I'm hurting right now. This doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going out of my mind, but I do know I'm going to stay in your word. So
right.
Sometimes we need to be out about so we can stay in his word. Get
That's
out of
right.
you and get into him.
Say
and
that.
Then, then he can move and do what needs to be done.
Say that. Say
and
that.
That's what we have to do. So no matter what your situation, your circumstance, whatever you're going through, God is so in control of that situation and that circumstance.
Yes.
It don't look like it. He is. You don't know where he's at. All you got to do is cry out. He's
yes.
waiting for you to cry out.
Yes.
Tell Abba Father.
Yes.
Abba Father, like a baby crying out to their parents.
Yes.
And he
yes.
will fight there to show up.
Yes.
He'll move on the hearts of somebody to show you favor, show you mercy, show you grace. That you know you like didn't deserve, but you'd be like, thank you so much. I didn't know what I was going to do. God has moved on their heart to show you favor and show you grace.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. God can use anybody. And he
yes,
can use
he
anything.
Can. Yes, he can.
But that's why we got to have the right view of God. See, if we think he over there, out there somewhere, we don't have the right view of him. So when we in trouble, well, I don't know if he's going to show up or not. Maybe he
yeah.
will, maybe he won't.
Yeah.
No, not the
yeah.
God I He always going to show up because I'm his child. And he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Put him in remembrance of that. Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I know you hear, you heard what they just said to me. You hear this.
Yeah.
I don't know what
yeah.
I'm going to do. I done got myself in a mess. But that's
yeah.
going to make a masterpiece out of it. So you go ahead
yes,
and do what you
can.
Need to do. I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to be still and know that you are.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to be still.
Know it.
I'm going to be still.
Know
and
it.
Our whole life is like this whole life is a life of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, sister, I'm sorry. But that's exactly the way.
This is good. This is good. And I thank God. I thank God for it. I thank God for his teaching. I feel like we've been somewhere in the earth. I feel like we've elevated, you know. You know, I feel
yes.
like God has really taken us by spirit and really taken us somewhere. And it's almost like we're just looking around at the awesomeness of God. I mean, like you said,
mm-hmm.
not liking him unto man or any mortal,
right.
but liking him
mm-hmm.
unto something that our eyes cannot see, you know, so, and that makes us reverently think and reverently look at the awesomeness
yes.
of him. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you just said, that scripture, and see, that lines up with that scripture. Eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of a man
mm-hmm.
to think that God has prepared for them that love him. In other words,
yeah.
you can't even wrap your head around what he has done for us.
Yes,
you can't
Lord.
Even comprehend. We can't even comprehend. That's how awesome he is.
Yes.
That's how awesome he is. But when,
yes.
we, when we have that view of God, what do we have to fear?
That's right.
We can fear nothing. We can be walking around this earth fearless because we serve the God of all the heaven and all the universe.
Yes.
The God
yes.
we serve is God. There is no other.
Yes.
What do we have to fear? Absolutely
mm-hmm.
nothing. I mean, I'm here to tell you, it's at the point now, and that's where we got to stay there, though. You know,
exactly.
We got to stay in that right view of God.
That's
see.
Right. That's
without
that's
the right,
right
view of God,
we that's
got
right.
to keep the right view of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, the wrong view is a small view. The right view of God is much bigger, much greater, much wider, much awesome. I can't even
yeah.
I can't even describe words. You know,
has no
end. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Infinite. No end.
Mm-hmm.
No
mm-hmm.
end.
Mm-hmm.
That alone
mm-hmm.
tells you right there, like, wow. We get caught mm-hmm. up into well, you know what. God, we could talk all night, but I thank God for this because, you know, it's always been like for me that
yes.
iron sharpens iron. And
that's
I think people needed, somebody on the line tonight needed to hear that. They
yeah.
needed to hear beyond just a teaching. They needed to hear,
mm-hmm.
man, maybe I got the wrong view of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
mm-hmm.
talking about their God. This and the Word of God says those who know their God
can
do great exploits. I think
that's
the book of Daniel.
That's right.
The book of
that's it.
But part of knowing God is to know, have the right view of God. You know, it's
that's
like
exactly
you really
right.
know God. I'm gonna share this last thing, and I wish I had it. You know, maybe once
once, you know, we get on YouTube, we can do visuals. But there's a visual that a man of God put out many years ago. It's I can't think of his name. I got a picture of him in my head right now. But once I find the link, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
He literally, I just had his name and I just lost it, but it's his name. I can't remember. But anyway, he did something similar to that. Let me tell you what he did. He had a picture of the universe. He had a picture of the earth in outer space. And he zoomed out from the earth. He said, okay, this is one light year away. And every time he zoomed out, it got smaller and smaller. This is 10 light years away. Then all of a sudden, all these other little dots popped up around the earth. Then he zoomed out further. Then there were like thousands of dots that popped up around the earth. Then he zoomed out even further. Now there were galaxies that popped up. You know, and his name was, I know his name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just gave me his name. Francis Chan. Francis Chan. I want you to Google Francis Chan. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's absolutely fact. So that it'll also expand your view of God. It's similar to what you was talking about.
Yes.
And you think a lot of it. And it's Francis Chan, F-R-A-N-C-S. And he's a man of God. He's a minister, I think, somewhere out in California.
I think he
wrote a couple of books years ago. I just remember him. But anyway, it really just expands your view of God. And once again, he had pictures from NASA, and he was ministering. He was showing. It just blew your mind. It just blew your mind. We're one little speck in billions of stars, galaxies that are out there. We're just one little speck. Even a speck, like a, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when you look at it from that view.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes. And I think that's what, like a son, that's what it did for me. Totally elevated my mind.
Yes.
You know, so like I said, again, when the teachings were going forth tonight, you know, I could understand, because this is where God wants us. This is where he wants us. And to tell you the truth, you know, we're hearing a lot of people talking about kingdom. Well, and that is because, you know, there are eras. There's an era for this. There was a space era. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's a church era.
It's time.
That's exactly what it is. And so
it's time
now we're hearing people buzzing talking about kingdom. Well, kingdom now is taking us beyond the church. And that's why, listen, people of God, a lot of times you're hearing a lot of people buzzing saying no more church as usual. But to be no more church as usual, because now we know that the law was a schoolmaster, and we know that, you know, the Bible say, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, you know, as some is.
Right.
But even in the coming together, unifying, fellowshipping together, the reason for the fellowshipping together was to give us strength, was to give us insight, was to open our eyes, you know, like meetings like this. You know, we're not in a church building, but we are gathered together on one accord in one place, having the same mind. And so God is now breathing. He's breathing and opening our mind so that we can understand him and who he is. Now, to understand him and who he is, as we already said, that takes us now beyond the four walls. That now is taking us straight into spirit, straight into kingdom.
Right.
It's
right.
taking us into kingdom, even as the scripture says that those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits.
Right.
We do exploits because we know him. We know him.
Right.
Our minds have been elevated. Our minds have
been
illuminated. He has taken our minds and taking us to another level. He has opened us up to him the more. So the more he opens us up, the more of him now He breathes into us, and he breathes into us. You know what I'm saying? And now that brings us to the point that even as the scripture declares, we can decree a thing. We don't even have to ask.
Right.
Now, we're so full as we're, and listen, even as we're here getting this word, don't you know God is downloading into us? Don't you know he is breathing upon us? Don't you know something is happening right now? Don't you know he's unlocking our mind? Don't you know he's unlocking our spirit that we may know him? As the scripture said, that we may know him. Glory to
know
God.
Him.
In his power and in his resurrection.
Yeah.
In his power, in his resurrection, that was nothing but raw power. Nothing but raw power.
Right.
That he was able, yes sir. You see what I'm saying? He defied death.
He defied death.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Nobody can do that but God.
That's right. So now this is what God is doing. He's quickening us. Quickening us. He's bringing us into him. He's breaking down what we thought we knew. He's bringing us into the raw power that we can walk as a scripture said, in him I live and move
My
being. We live in walking power in the earth.
Yes.
Walking in God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Calling those things that really are. Listen, call them those things that be not as though they are. Those things that
are
out of order. As sons of God, we calling them into order. Because what? Because we know him. And because we know order. Because the order is in us. So we're not speaking anything against him. But he's bringing us into oneness, even as you were saying, man of God, into the image and likeness of God. So you can't be opposed. You can't be contrary to him and him be in you. That's not possible.
Right.
So the more of him that he imparts into you, the more we are like him. Glory be to God.
Right.
And the more his glory is revealed in us, and we can't boast about it because it's not about ourselves, but it's according to the power, as the scripture says,
that
worketh
in us.
Mm-hmm.
Come
mm-hmm.
on, you better say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about us. It's not about us. We're vessels.
Yes.
We're vessels, meat for the master's use.
Yes.
That's what we are. And like I said, the more we know, and see, it's time because we're in the end times. It's going to take us having the real God in these end times to make God knows that we shall become, we're going to have to become as one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's time. It's
mm-hmm.
time now. That's why, and the word of God says that, you know, the return of the Lord ain't gonna care. It's not going to happen until the kingdom is preached in all the earth. That's why
that's
the kingdom message is coming out. It's preached all over the earth. See,
that's right.
That's one of the, there's a scripture that says that. It literally says, you know, like that's one of the signals right there. And I even asked God, I said, God, you know, what about those islands? I got missionaries. What about those islands out there that nobody never been to, never seen? I got missionaries for that. God, his word has to go all over this planet. Don't you know God knows everything about every person, whether they on a remote island or whether they're in a country? You know, he created it all.
That's
he created
right. That's
it all.
Right.
Get the right view, God. There's nothing he don't know. That's I keep trying to. That's the one thing I had to wrap around my head.
Mm-hmm.
He's the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise. If there was something he didn't know, he couldn't call himself God.
That's right.
Think about
that's
it.
That's right.
If somebody knew something that he didn't know, he could not call himself God. If
that's
somebody
right.
had more power than he had, he could not call himself God.
That's right. And he's the preeminent.
Because that means they know something he doesn't know, which means
that's
they
right.
can overthrow him. You see what I'm saying?
That's
but
right.
that can be. He has to be the all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing God. In order
that's
for him
right.
to be God, the very essence of who he is, he has to know everything. He has to have all power. He has to have all wisdom. You know, he has to. So when you get that view of him, like, wait a minute, God, you already knew. You already
that's
knew
right.
I was going to be on this phone tonight.
That's
this.
Right.
You already
that's
knew
right.
that would happen earlier today.
You already knew this person was going to say this, that person. See, we're thinking that we're doing it, and God ain't. You think God was surprised by COVID? Do you actually think God was surprised by COVID? We were surprised, but he wasn't.
Mm-mm.
He wasn't.
Mm-mm.
He already knew what happened. He knew how it happened. He knew where it came from.
That's
God
right.
knows security camera right now.
That's
There's
right.
nothing God don't know.
That's right.
We're the ones who got to have faith that, wait a minute, this is a God. Now, God, now I know you know the cure of cancer. Now, my loved one got it over there, so I'm praying for them, but I know you already know the cure now. I know it's by your will. If you will for them to be healed, they'll be healed. But if you don't, they won't.
That's
I mean,
right.
You God. It's your decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to intercede on their behalf because I know you know the answer to this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing that you don't know. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when you got that, approach God from that perspective, see that God said, oh, what did the Victorian soldier say? He said, speak the word only. You ain't got to come to my house.
That's right.
You ain't got to come to my house to heal my servant. Speak the word only.
That's right.
And he didn't even look. He just said, speak the word only. He had faith in what he had seen Jesus do. He said,
that's right.
I understand that authority you got. I say to my soldiers, do this, and they do it. I say to my soldiers, do that, and they do it. All you got to do, and I've been watching you, and every time you say something, it happens. So you ain't got to come to my house and lay hands on my servant. Speak the word only, and he'll
that's
be
healed. Right. That's right.
And Jesus
that's
called
right.
that great faith. Jesus
mm-hmm.
like, good God Almighty, I ain't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. You know
mm-hmm.
why? Because that Victorian soldier who didn't even believe in Jesus, probably didn't even know God, he went by what he observed. This man say something, then I see it happen. He said that,
mm-hmm.
it happened. He said that. So all you got to do is speak the word on.
Mm-hmm.
You've already proven yourself to me. I don't know how you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is I do it. So you ain't got to come to my house and lay hands on my servant. It says when he got home that afternoon, his servant was healed from that very moment that Jesus said he was healed. He didn't have to come to the house. See, that's what Jesus called that great faith. I'm like, God, wait a minute. You just said that was great faith. What am I missing here?
Right.
This man believed.
That's it.
Oh, good God Almighty.
Listen, he took his faith out of the room. He took his faith out of the room, like my son said. Is this all you got? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They took the limit off of the expectancy and the anticipation. Yes.
Right.
And so that's the other thing, people of God, we got to take the limitations off of the expectancy of God and what God can do. Like you said, that young man, he only heard and he saw what it was noise abroad. What Jesus was doing. Yes. Yes, evangelist. And so
he called it great faith.
But now listen, he said, but now that was great faith. But going back to what you said, he said it only takes the faith the size of a mustard seed. Now that so it's that little, and it don't take a whole lot, but again, what God is doing now is really transforming our minds. We're being transformed.
He really is.
We're being transformed.
See, we've been taught and we've been preaching all this stuff for years, and it was a time for that, to plant those seeds on the inside of our hearts. But now God is saying, you know what? Now I'm going to unveil and reveal to you what those scriptures really mean. I'm going to unveil and reveal to you what they mean. I'm going to show you that it is that, but it's so much more. It is so much more than just that, you know, because he wants us to know him like never before because of the times that we're in. We're going into end times. And as we continue to head down this road of end times and the return of the Lord comes closer and closer, there has to be a lot of people that's going to give their life to Christ. A lot of people got to get saved. And some people simply aren't going to believe until they see something. I'm telling you right now, they just ain't going to believe. They just, you know, to them, it's like, you know, okay, these Christians been talking all these years about this. They mock us because they're like, y'all been saying that since the beginning of time, that the return of the Lord is going to happen. Y'all been this and y'all been that. And we've been kind of looked at as, oh, well, y'all go through this and y'all go through that. Now God's going to have to show up and show out because he's got to get a whole lot of people. A whole lot of people got to get saved. And some people ain't going to believe until they see. You know, the word of God says, you believe because you see. But blessed are those who believe who have not seen. See, those who believe who have not seen, they simply took their faith and said, okay, just like the centurion soldier. You ain't got to come to my house. Just speak the word only. I don't know how your word is going to heal him, but I know that I've seen you say stuff and it actually happened. So you know what? Don't even bother coming to my house. You ain't got to waste your time. Because I believe your words so much. I believe your words so much. Look at that. I believe your words. Speak the word only. I believe your words carry power. All you got to do is say it. I believe your words carry power. You better say it. You better hear me. I believe your words carry power.
Mm-hmm.
This is the word of God. It carries the power that we're looking for. I believe your words carry power. So all you got to do is speak it. And that's what God did in Genesis. He said, let
there
be light, right?
That's
there was
right.
Light.
That's right.
He spoke it. It
that's
ain't like
right.
He went out and got some stuff and put it all together, and all of a sudden he made this little thing, and then it started shining, and he put a little bit over here, a little bit over there. No, all God did was speak it. All he did was speak it. All he did was speak it. Let there be
that's
light,
right.
And there was light. And it was good. Let there be a firmament in the heavens. God spoke it. And so God was giving us a pattern then. Look, y'all got to understand something. I'm God. I can say stuff and you will see it. That's it. All I got to do is you'll understand how my words create, but you understand that they carry power. Just
right.
Like a centurion soldier. He understood it from the big get-go. He said, speak the word only. It makes you wonder, why don't we just say, God, just speak the word. I know you can heal my auntie over there with Catherine. Just say the word and she'll be healed. You know?
Yeah.
That was a time, I'm going to say this last thing. I mean, and this is when you're on fire for God. I know when I first started getting into the word, I share this with you all, and then I'll end with this. There was a time my wife and I had a friend of ours whose their dad passed, right? Their dad passed. And when I tell you on fire for God, I've calmed down a little bit over the years, but I'm talking about God has stirred me back up. But I was so on fire for God, I said, okay, man, let's get in the car. I'm going over there, and I'm going to raise him from the dead. I'm going to lay hands on him. I'm going to speak God's word over him. I was just that confident that if I would have went over there and put my hands on this man, he would have got up off that bed, and everybody would have been looking at me like I'm crazy. And it would have been like, but see, if that wasn't the will of God, then the man would have come back and said, but man, what you doing? Let me go. I don't want to come back here. But what I'm saying
right.
is faith has got to get to the point where we know God is so awesome and so powerful that we will be radical enough to do stuff like that and stand before kings and queens. That's what God said. When you stand before kings and queens, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to put the words in your mouth.
Yeah.
God's looking for mouthpieces.
Come on
God
now.
God has to use us to do things in the earth. You know,
come on now.
God's looking for people who are going to speak the word on. God's looking for people who are going to do things, who are going to go out there to the highways and the byways. God's looking for people he can use.
Yeah.
But those people are the ones who trust him so much that they put their whole reputation on the line. They don't care about what nobody thinks about them. They just go out and do it. They just
right.
go out. God said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Let's go over here and lay these hands on the sick over here. Y'all worried about
yeah.
somebody? God says the elders of the church pray for them and they'll be, let's get the elders together. Call them up. Let's go over here and pray.
Jesus.
God wants us to start doing the book. You know, those
yeah.
early Christians in the, I said in some of the history of Christianity, the early churches that, you know, early days, they were so much on one accord. Them jokers, man, they sold all their stuff, and they was as one. They prayed together. They stayed together. Not a single one of them lacked anything because they were of one accord. Even when the Holy Spirit came on the earth, God kept increasing the church over and over because they was of one accord. They was all of one. They all believed God. They were not these wishy-washy people we got today who kind of believe God some days and some days they don't, you know, depending on the situation and the circumstance. These people walked, talked, lived, ate, slept. Everything they did for God. And that's where we got to go back to for God to be able to do what he's trying to do in the earth today. God is looking for a people who are going to dare to believe it. I dare to believe God. Dare to believe God. God, give you a dream. So go down there and talk to the governor tomorrow. I'm at his front door knocking. I got an appointment with the governor. I need to have a conversation with him. Well, who are you? Don't worry about that. Just put the governor out to God. Now, you said to do this. You're going to have to open the way for me. And I boldly go in there and say, God told me to tell you this, 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 and this. Now, if I done miss God, my job on the line, I'm going to be embarrassed. They may even throw me in jail for even having the audacity to come before the government. But if I know God and spoke to me and I done went down there and did that, and guess what? It changes his whole life.
That's right.
It changes his whole life. And that, wait. When did that happen? Wait a minute. Did Pharaoh have a dream? And he got the man out of prison, Joseph, to come in there and interpret the dream. Nobody could interpret it but Joseph. And Joseph said, look, no man can interpret dreams but God. In other words, don't think it's coming from me. It's going to come from God. I'm just the vessel God uses. You over here trying to get all these other people to interpret your dream, and you threatening their life. If they don't get it right, you're going to kill them.
Right.
All right? But I serve a God in heaven who knows dreams. I know the God who interprets dreams. So don't think it's coming from me. It's coming from him.
Yeah.
That's how Joseph and God used a dream to raise him up. See, but he had to believe God. You know, Joseph, look at his life. Every time he got in some mess, he always ended up ahead. They throw him in the pit. He comes out of the pit. The lady lies on him, throw him in prison, and then he run into prison. Everywhere he went, he had favor. You know why? Because he believed God. He didn't believe man. He wasn't concerned about that. God had given him his dream where he was going to be second to Pharaoh, and he didn't know how it was going to happen, but he believed God. Even when he told other people his dream, they was jealous, they was mad. That's why they threw him in the pit. Are we going to bow before you? What ended up happening in the story? They ended up bowing before it.
Right.
You know why? Joseph believed God, see. His view of God was totally different from theirs. His view of God, he was like, God gave me this dream, and I saw y'all doing this. Oh, is your mom and dad going to bow before you? I'm telling you, these stories will blow your mind, but once you see, look at the view of God that he had. And everywhere he went, he had favor. Even in prison, the prison God trusted him. I think there was an earthquake at one point. I may be mixing my stories up. I think I'm mixing them up with that. But the people who believed God, when they was in prison, you know, God gave them favor with the prison guard.
Mm-hmm.
This man came from prison, from being thrown in the prison. Now what? He had the dream first.
That's right.
He had the dream. He didn't know if that dream was going to come, but he believed that dream. But, you know, he's like, I don't know how this is going to work. How is I going to be in this position? Now, when he messed up, he told people about his dream, and these people didn't have no faith. Matter of fact, they went totally against the dream. They got jealous, got mad, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. Look at all the mess he went through to get to where God was trying to get him. Don't you know God knew he was going to go through all that, but he didn't know it. But guess what? He ended up exactly where God said he would be at that dream.
Mm-hmm.
His view of God was so limited.
Yeah.
See, we got to change our view. Either we're going to believe this word or we're not. Either we're going to trust this word or we're not. Either we're going to get in these scriptures and read this word every day and pray and try to get God to explain himself, or not explain himself, but reveal himself to us, or we're not. It's all up. God said, you want the right view of me? Do you not realize, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? That's what he said. Is anything too hard? No, nothing's too hard for you, God. Well, why are you over there worried about it? Don't you know I already knew this was going to happen before it happened? I already knew. When I had my car accident years ago, and I'm sitting up there and I can't breathe. I'm getting out of the car. My faith kicked in, so let me tell you something. I crawled out of that car onto that sidewalk, and I'm thinking I'm going to fall out and die. I wasn't even thinking about dying. I was just praising God. I'm over there praising God, like, yep, praise God. You know, I'm sitting there thinking in my mind, I ain't think I was going to go out like this in a car accident. God, I just want to go to sleep and wake up on the other side. That would be the nicest way to go. I don't want to get shot, stabbed, car accident, none of that. You know, but God, whatever your will is. So I'm in the car accident, and I'm on my way in the back of the ambulance, and they drive me to the hospital. And I'm just praising God. I'm like, God, thank you for these people taking care of me. I thank you, Lord God, that they're going to know that this is you, that you are in this, that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I'm just praying out loud. I'm like, praise God. Thank you, Lord God, that you above all only, not beneath. All those scriptures in me started coming out of me because I had to build my faith up because I didn't know what was going to happen. See, it's at that time that you really got to trust God. Your life could be on the line. You better open your mouth and start saying something. And those what comes out of you better have been poured in you through your time spent with God. Because
that's
if
right.
not, you ain't going to know what to say. You ain't going to know what
right.
to say. Mouth is very powerful. God gave us a mouth. That's why God says, you know, the mouth is a two-way sword. You see what I'm saying? What comes in, what's going out. He says not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man. It's what comes out, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So whatever's in abundance in your heart is what's going to come out. So all I know is the scriptures. Praise God. I thank you, Lord God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm riding in the heavens. Father, bless these people who are taking me. Thank you, Lord God. I ask that you bless their families, bless their friends. Let them know that you are the God of all the heaven and all the earth, that you are the great I am. You are the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm just sitting up there, this stuff is coming out. I thank you, Lord God, that I got the whole armor of God on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just saying stuff. I thank you, Lord God, that I have on the helmet of salvation, that you guard my mind, my thoughts with the word of God. I help me to think on the things that are true and honest and lovely and of a good report. See, all that stuff comes out of you when you pour it in you, but you got to pour it in order to bring it out, because you don't never know what situation or circumstance you're in. You know, and right. You better know how to call God. Holy Spirit, help me, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm got stirred up over here, sister. You done got me so stirred up. Praise God.
I love it. You know, it's beautiful. And I believe our listening audience is blessed by it, too. And I really would like to have a discussion even so like this, and give our audience time to participate, give them opportunity to call in. And opportunity to come online and share, you know, their thoughts, their viewpoint, in a real round table discussion type manner. Because I know that even as we're talking, the Lord is breathing upon them, you know, different things and different points of view too. So we want to hear it.
Yeah.
But we thank you tonight, people of God, for listening in with us, wherever you're listening from. We pray that you glean something from this message on tonight. I'm telling you, the Lord just came and he just expanded, and you know, all that was being said, and he's truly taking us to another level. Listen, we want to let you know, people of God, you can get a copy of the broadcast tonight. And man of God, what would you call it? What would you call it if they would like to get a copy?
Oh, praise God. I you know what, that's praise God. I would say praise God, help me in the spirit. So much is in it, I would say that God, you know what? A right view of God.
I love it. Okay. So people about you, if you would like to get a copy of the broadcast tonight, A Right View of God, and we want you to sit and listen, and we want you to share, because this is one of many, I would say, in this series, because God is truly doing some things. And, you know, it takes a moment when you begin to shift, when God begins to take us to another level. It's sort of like recalibrating. It's sort of like, now, wait a minute, we get ready. Like when you're shifting, when you're driving a car, you have to put on the clutch to shift the gear. So this, what I'm seeing now, is we're shifting gears. Even in the spirit realm, we are shifting gears. So we just want to invite you to hold on, get your copy of A Right View of God. You can certainly text us at 912-257-3918, or you can text us at 678-608-7234. Again, that's 678-608-7234. And we will get this copy of the broadcast to you, and we want you to listen to it, because God is doing some things in the midst of us, people of God. And for real, this really no more church as usual. We got to shift into kingdom. We got to shift into power. We have to shift into demonstration, all by the power of God. And we need to release our faith, and we need to embrace what God is doing, because truly he's doing a work in us, in the earth. Amen?
Yes.
And he needs you.
Amen.
He needs you. So, again, we thank God for you tonight. man of God, I tell you, I don't think we've gone this far in a very, very long time. What we will do is give you a copy of this broadcast tonight, and certainly want you to be blessed, want you to listen to it over and over and over again, and just listen and be blessed. We're shifting. But man of God,
Amen.
We want to pray for you. Amen.
Praise
tonight,
God.
Father, we thank you. We bless you tonight. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for bringing us together, for each and everyone on this line, for you knew us name by name. We're thanking you for your preordination. We're thanking you, oh God, for your election according to grace. You've elected the ones that will be here tonight to hear, not only to hear, but to understand and to come out with a greater knowledge of who you are. And we thank you tonight, Father. We're thanking you for the sower tonight. We're thanking you for the man of God that has sowed the seed on tonight, the seed of faith. We thank you tonight, Father, and we're asking that you would bless him. Father, bless him as only you can, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, bless him. Glory to God. Bless his going out. Bless his coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And we give you thanks and we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Thank you for blessing his ministry. We're thanking you, oh God, for blessing each and everyone on this line, for your leading and for your guiding all by your Spirit, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for what you're doing right now in our lives. We're thanking you, glory to God, for the overflow. Yes, God. We're thanking you for the overflow, overflow in wisdom, overflow in knowledge, overflow in understanding. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Oh, God, understanding, overflow in willingness. Overflow in truth, overflow in holiness. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory on tonight. Now, Father, we're asking that you bless yet again your servant. Father, do unto him even as he's given out to your people. Restore the virtue. Restore, fill him again. Fill him again. Quicken him again, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, we're asking that you would hide him behind your precious cross. In that precious name, Jesus, we forbid backlash of the enemy. Any backlash today, Father, we forbid it as sons of God. And we declare, we decree there shall be no reformation. But what you've done is done and cannot be reversed. But this, Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In that precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Man of God, we're going to release the line back to you. Amen, Jesus, that you would pray. Amen. For the closing on tonight, this has been good. Amen. So I'm looking forward to it.
Amen.
Glory to God. And perhaps the next week, man of God, because we have gone over. Amen, Jesus. So, but we thank God on tonight that maybe perhaps next week we can start our dialogue a little earlier, just picking up right here from where you left off. Like you say, you're just going to kind of park right there in Genesis. As we have seen tonight, there is so much that God wants to speak and God wants to say unto us, his people. So we're going to release the line to you, man of God, on tonight. God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you.
Okay.
We thank God for you. And we, amen, release the platform unto you.
God, Father, I just thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for everyone who heard your word tonight, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that they will develop a correct view of who you are, Lord God. Help us to begin to see you as you are, Lord God. Help us to understand just how awesome you are, Lord God, and not to live in fear, but to live in faith. And not to walk, Lord God, afraid, but to walk in confidence and courage, Lord God, that knowing that you are with us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God.
Yeah.
And Heavenly Father, every person that heard this message tonight, that they will change their view of you. that they will begin to see you in a whole different way, Lord God, the God of all the heaven and all the earth, the God of the universe, the great I am, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the author and finisher of our faith, Lord God, and that they will understand that, Lord God, that you can do absolutely anything at any time, in any situation, in any circumstance, because everything was created by you and for you and for your glory. And we give you all praise, all honor, and all glory. Continue to expand our minds, Lord God, to see you truly as who you are. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen, people of God. That does conclude our broadcast on the night. Again, we want to say thank you. Thank you for hanging in there with us. Thank you. You hung in there to the very end. So God bless you tonight. Again, that does conclude our broadcast. And listen, come on back, people of God, on next Friday. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Take what you've heard on tonight. Analyze it. Look at it. Amen. Meditate. Talk to the Lord about it. Talk to him sweetly. Sweetly talk to him. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. Like that, and let us see what God will do. Amen. And we thank God for the testimonies that are about to come forth. Glory to God. God bless you tonight. We look to see you on tomorrow night. Come on back and be with the people of God. And then again, like I said, in this series, A Correct View of God, come on back next Friday night, and we look so forward to seeing you. God bless you. We love you. And we will see you on tomorrow night. In Jesus' name, God bless you now.
Amen.
This session is no longer being recorded. Goodbye.